Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Tuesday, May 7th. I'm Stephen Overly. I was prepping for today's interview with Jeff Magin-Caldo, the CEO of online education company Coursera, when I came across a blog post on the company's website. It was titled The Year of AI. And it went on to say that this was, quote, the year AI became accessible to the masses, rather than just engineers. But that blog post wasn't written this year or last year. It was written back in 2019. Coursera had roughly 45 million registered users then, and their AI courses were already popular. Today, Coursera has closer to 150 million users. Explosive growth fueled by both the COVID-19 pandemic and the rising demand for tech skills. Now, Jeff says AI is transforming education, both how it's delivered and what people are studying, and that companies like his are the future. Of course, that's something you'd expect the head of an online education company to say. But on the show today, Jeff's case for why higher education needs an AI overhaul, and how he's using it to decide Coursera's strategy going forward. Jeff, welcome to Politico Tech.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So before our interview, I did a search in the Coursera for a catalog for AI courses. Do you want to guess how many results popped up when I searched artificial intelligence?
Well, we have officially over 800 courses. My guess is it was 2,000 or something like that, because there's probably little sprinkles of AI in different courses.
So yeah, so if you include all those sprinkles, it was actually 4,089 came up.
All right, I like it.
In like 25 different languages. I mean, I can't imagine it was anywhere near that number a year or two ago. How much has AI, and especially generative AI, changed your world?
Well, yeah, it's changed it profoundly. And I think it's going to be changing our world, our being everybody listening to this podcast, and not everybody on the planet probably, but certainly people in most, you know, reasonably developed countries where there's economies that work on, to some degree, on information. It's changed our world at Coursera in many different ways. And we have had a lot of AI courses for many years. In fact, our founders, Andrew Ng and Daphne Koller, were both really expert back in 2012 when Coursera was founded in artificial intelligence. And some of the earliest courses that were put on Coursera were actually AI-related courses. But the big change that I see is that historically, AI is something that just happened to most of us. So until generative AI came out, for the most part, AI was for the builders. The difference in the last 2 years with ChatGPT and this new class of generative AI is that courses on AI are not only for the builders, now they're for the users. A way to think about this that I find useful is a quote from Andrew Ng, who said this before generative AI ever came out. He said, AI is the new electricity. And just as electricity is like, it's a certain type of capability that some people call a general purpose technology, it transforms society in ways that we never imagined. Generative AI is going to do the same thing.
And so with this idea that everyone's talking about now, that AI is going to transform all of these industries, you know, finance, media, healthcare, should we all be rushing out to get like AI degrees?
No, I don't think that they're going to be AI degrees. Right now, there's a gold rush happening in San Francisco. There are companies paying $1 million in comp for AI developers at the highest levels. And so there will certainly be degrees, mostly master's and PhD degrees, in AI and advanced machine learning. In fact, there's one from Imperial College of London on Coursera, which is very, very, very advanced stuff. But for most people, if they need to get a college degree, it won't be a college degree in AI. It will be a college degree that helps them do some other job differently and better and stand out from all the other people who are trying to get jobs in a world where AI is doing more and more of people's jobs. So I think that a lot on leadership and management is going to be very valuable. So being a leader is incredibly hard these days because you know you have to change, but you don't know how, you don't know what the end state looks like. And you've got, you know, a team of people who are saying, where are we heading here? Like, where are you taking us? So I think degrees in business fields will be very valuable, also in technical skills, but I don't think they're all going to be AI degrees. I think that the advanced builders might get AI degrees, but everybody else is just going to have to get a lot of education on how to do things differently and be highly adaptable.
Well, so with that in mind, I understand you're sort of a proponent of things like micro-credentials or skills-based training. How does the current workforce adapt, and how do leaders help it adapt to kind of that AI future?
Yeah, well, I think that to a large degree, when I look at something like AI, one of the ways to think about it is, not unlike COVID, it is a force that will drive more accelerated change. And what change means is that the way that businesses do business, down to the fundamental strategy of who their customer is and how they serve their customer needs, that is all up for grabs. For many, many companies, especially companies that deal with information and media, companies that deal with language or images or videos, sounds, all those will be changing because generative AI will change the game on all sources of media. But what also is really interesting and startling and thrilling and scary is that when you think about these language models, not only do they produce language, you know, patterns of language, but embedded in the patterns of language are patterns of meaning. Because these models have really learned how words can get put together in patterns, they construct, when they construct these patterns of new words, they construct patterns of new meaning, and now they effectively can start thinking. Now, people say, oh, they can't think because I can't describe exactly how they think. But you know, no one can describe exactly how a human thinks either. And yet, when these machines, when you ask it a question and it gives you an answer, it looks an awful lot like a human having thought through it, and the models are getting better. So where this is really going to be disruptive and where people are going to change and jobs are going to be impacted and businesses will be changed, it's not just businesses that produce media, is businesses that require thinking. If a business has a human who has to think and make decisions, then this is going to change their business.
Is the technology there now? Because, you know, there are issues with things like hallucinations, right? I was just using ChatGPT for something this weekend, as a matter of fact, and asked it to summarize a historical event, and it contained errors when it did that.
Yep.
And so for you in the education space, you know, using AI, how much of a concern are problems like that?
You know, they're a big concern if people don't use the tool properly. I have a course that I put together for CEOs called Navigating Generative AI, a CEO Playbook, and it talks about what the technology is and how it works. It talks about how you set strategy, transform your company, and understand and manage risks. But a piece of that is a little segment called Using Generative AI as Your Thought Partner. What I talk about, and this is all widely known, but in this course that's available on Coursera, like you can actually practice it hands-on in the course, is that if you do something called context grounding with a large language model, you get much, much better performance. It's a little bit like this. Assume that the large language model is like a brain, but the brain doesn't know a lot. And you have to give it the context and the knowledge that it needs to give you good answers. Well, you can use these models in such a way that you kind of give it the knowledge it needs, and then you ask it to summarize that knowledge or relate two pieces of knowledge or help you see the pros and cons of a certain decision that you're thinking about making. But what that requires is that you give the model something to work with, and then it performs much better.
And so can you give me a specific example of how you as a CEO have used AI, made a business decision working with AI as sort of this thought partner that you're describing?
Sure. Last night, I mean, people might find this distressing. There's a new model called Google Gemini Pro 1.5. And what's amazing about this model is it has a very good reasoning capability underneath. So it does a good job at processing, you know, word patterns and generating good outputs. But the really cool thing is you can put in 1 million tokens, that's about 700,000 words, into this model in order to give it the knowledge that you want it to know. So what I did is I gave it the whole description of Coursera from our 10K, and then I feed it information. I have transcripts from when we do our management meetings, we record them and turn them into transcripts. So every word that everybody said in a meeting that's in a quarterly business review about a certain strategy or a certain initiative is all in text. And then you feed it the transcripts of each of these quarterly business reviews. Now suddenly, that model knows an awful lot about your company and about what you're working on and what some of the good things are and the bad things are. So you can ask questions. You could say, what are the strategic initiatives across these different quarterly business reviews that seem to hold the most promise? If we had to simplify our strategy, what part of our strategy seems to be most inconsistent with the other parts of our strategy? And so I use it a lot to find patterns across wide, wide ranges of data. And then last night, another thing that I did, I mean, I use it all day long. There were 6 charts that showed a trend in conversion rates. These were professional certificates, which are these industry micro-credentials. So I loaded in a bunch of context that describes what a professional certificate is. And then using GPT-4V, it's a model that where you can load in not just text, but you can load in pictures. I gave it the charts. And I said, based on our strategy, because I fed it our strategy, I fed it the description of the company. I said, look at these 6 charts and tell me what patterns are the most important patterns that jump out from these charts and what trends I should be aware of. And then it does it. It really looks at the charts and then tells me what it sees. And then I can ask questions. What does this imply for our strategy? What does this imply for how we should maybe pivot what we're doing over here or the kind of content that we should be marketing over there? And so I use it as a business strategist to help analyze things and suggest good ideas.
And did it come up with ideas you hadn't thought of?
Absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't always come up. And here's what a lot of people say too, and this is generally true. It often doesn't come up with really novel ideas. But what these models do extremely well is they are very coherent and they're usually quite complete, if not always accurate. If you don't ground it, it might not be accurate, but it'll always be coherent. It'll be generally pretty complete. So the great way to use these tools, a great way to use these tools is to make sure you don't miss something. Now, it might not take the big novel leap, but it will definitely say, oh, in these charts, here are the 5 trends that I see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you'll be like, oh yeah, I didn't think about number 3. Like, I didn't spot that. And then you could ask it about number 3. First, you could think about it yourself. You could say, well, that's an interesting point. Let me take a look at that. Let me develop my own kind of hypothesis and point of view on that. But then you could also talk to the large language model and it'll say like, yeah, here's what's going on with that trend and consider this, consider this, consider this. So it's like a thought partner and it's great for helping you identify where your blind spots are or what you might be missing.
You know, when you step back and you look at the bigger picture of higher education in the U.S. right now, you know, we have over the last decade, we've seen college enrollment decline. Student loan debt is debilitatingly high for a lot of people. The pandemic, I think, removed a lot of the remaining stigma maybe around online education because suddenly most of us, all of us, were working or doing school online. When you add all of that up, what is the future of the traditional college degree?
More flexible. I think college degrees are going to continue to be very valuable and in high demand. But they're going to change. They have to change. For the vast majority of people, the college degree in America is a broken product. It needs to be improved. First of all, the idea that you can get a college degree either live in person or online so that a person doesn't have to go to a certain place at a certain time in order to get a college degree. Like that's a really important one is the flexibility that comes from that. Number 2 is the idea that they're far more affordable. You know, it shouldn't cost $100,000 a year, which now some college degrees now cost. Now, granted, you stay in nice dorms and all that kind of stuff for that price, but the prices will come down dramatically. And especially for working adults, having a degree that is more affordable and more flexible is critical. Another piece of the degree is that it's going to be far more job relevant. Even if you're studying something like psychology, there will be in your curricular program a whole lot more learning and skills building that's going to be relevant to a certain job. So how might psychology be useful for negotiating? How might psychology be useful for sales? And the way that this is happening, and it's happening fast and big, is what's called industry micro-credentials. So what's happening is that universities all around the world are now building these industry micro-credentials into college degree programs.
Are universities doomed then? I mean, they're all built around this idea now of high tuition and, you know, lock you in for 2 to 4 years. It seems like that industry could take a big hit from this future you're describing.
I would say that right now, the elite universities with really nice residential programs, very, very high selectivity, and college degrees that are coveted by students, parents, and employers, like, they're going to be fine. A lot of what they're offering is a selection signal and an experience. And they'll charge a lot of money for that, and they'll continue to charge money. So I think the elite universities in the U.S. will continue to do fine. But we have, 4,000 universities, 8 colleges. So most of them will not do fine. And if they don't adapt, they will be doomed. But change brings both threats and opportunities. There's an opportunity to serve way more people than you used to because of the generative AI and the change in the jobs landscape. People will need to continue to learn new things, and colleges are a natural place to do that. If colleges can make resources and credentials available online, and if they can integrate industry micro-credentials to make the college degree more job relevant, I think colleges have a chance to really reinvent themselves and create a product that's really purpose fit for tens of millions of working adults in North America alone who are going to need to get that college degree, but it's got to be a slightly improved version of the college degree.
Well, Jeff, appreciate you joining us here on Politico Tech.
Yeah, thanks a ton. It's been a pleasure.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overly. See you back here tomorrow.